Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, a hopeful story about one man's search for his biological parents. Dara Graham is a multi-instrumentalist in the band Hermitage Green and was an accomplished athlete as a sprinter for Ireland. He knew very early on in life that he was adopted, and in 2019 he decided to try and find both of his birth parents. And to discuss that epic journey of discovery, Dara is here now. Dara, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. You grew up in Wicklow and you were always aware, as I said, that you were adopted. Did you question it as you were growing up?
I wouldn't say really I questioned it. It was my normal. So as soon as I was old enough to understand, my parents would have explained, you know, I have brown skin and my parents are white and my sister is too. So, yeah, I knew as I was growing up, you know, I was a little bit different and same in school. So I was aware.
But you didn't when you were in, because often you would imagine, well, I would imagine that once you're in secondary school, you'd become more curious about it. But that wasn't the case for you, was it?
No, yeah, correct. No, it never really had like a longing or there never really felt to me something was missing.
Yeah.
I suppose it's testament to the work my parents did and, you know, how I was, what my environment was at home. So, it wasn't really a thing for me. To be honest.
Until 2019. So what happened then where you thought, I am interested in finding out more?
Yeah, I suppose a bit older. I was married and had kids and, you know, I was probably thinking maybe for them, what maybe they might want to know. And then maybe I had a self-protective type of thing going on internally where I didn't want to know, or I didn't want to open myself up because maybe it was going to be a bit uncomfortable whether it would be accepted or rejected and that kind of side of things. But eventually then, yeah, I just kind of went for it. In 2019, I just approached a social worker and filled out forms and did the process that every person wanting to trace their birth parents would.
And then that took a couple of years before you made progress, did it?
Yeah, there was it was 2.5 to 3 years before eventually I did meet my birth mother. There was quite a few ups and downs there, and the wrong person was thought to have been my birth mother, who said she couldn't help, and I thought that was the right person. I was told that by the social worker, and it wasn't really plain sailing.
It wasn't straightforward getting to that point, but you did eventually meet your birth mother a couple of years ago in 2022.
Correct,
What was that like?
It was, looking back, amazing and wonderful. In the moment, it was nerve-wracking. You don't know, like, before you meet, it's a stranger, and you don't know what will this person be, or what, you know, there's so many variables, and you just don't know what way it's going to go, and will you get on?
And did you have much communication before the meeting?
We wrote to each other, and it was advised that we write to each other a number of times, but we were both pretty much on the same page where we just wanted to meet each other. So that we did that. It's very, after one letter back and forth, then we did meet.
Because I've read and heard before that some people find it's like an anticlimax when you meet your biological parent. Obviously, that wasn't the case for you. It sounds like it was a lovely moment.
It was a lovely moment, but actually that makes sense in a way, not because it was an anticlimax, but I never heard that before. But yeah, so there's a big build-up to when you meet, and that build-up is huge and extremely all-consuming and very powerful. But then when you do meet, it's that build-up is gone and it's over, and there's no wondering now, and you have met. So it's, for me, there was an uncertainty as to what next, because I never thought about after. It was just the build-up and to finally meet. So that was, but then, yeah, it was very, a really nice experience then afterwards, because we kept in touch and she comes to my gigs and, you know, we're always back and forth.
So you have a relationship now with your birth mother?
Yeah, and brother and extended family, and there's lots of them.
So it's a whole new family that you've found.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So During that meeting then, the first meeting, you found out that your birth father didn't know that you existed. Is that right?
That's true, yeah. Yeah, that was a surprise. I suppose grew up knowing that I had ties to Trinidad. All I knew was that I was adopted and that my birth mother was Irish and my birth father was from Trinidad, and I just naturally assumed they both knew about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, growing up, you know, in Wicklow in the 90s, I was, I suppose, different to everyone else, looking different to everyone else. So I was a bit more aware that that difference came through him. So I would have been more, maybe he would have been in my head a little bit more growing up. So then, yeah, to find out that he never knew was definitely a bit of a shock.
So you said about trying to trace him.
Yeah. So she knew that I wanted to trace. The social worker knew I wanted to trace both equally. But there was information on my file about her, so she was the first person to be traced. Mm-hmm. My birth mother knew that I wanted to trace my birth father. So on the very first day we met, she gave me a picture of him and told me his name and told me how I might try and contact him. But that the route that she had suggested didn't work out. So I was left then, I suppose, trying to figure out a different way. So I went down the DNA route. And that didn't work out. And then I found eventually a genealogist. Now, this is like 6 months, they're going down one route and 6 months going down another. So 2.5 years later, I found a genealogist that was able to, it was willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
So he did, and he found him.
He found him?
Mm.
How quickly?
Another 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
So he gives you a call and says, I've located him. Is that how that works?
Well, in this situation, yeah. Yeah, we were just about to play a gig and I got a call to say that he found him. He kind of used the cover story. He didn't give him any information or details. He just used his genealogy work as a cover story. And then he lives in Canada, but he was in Trinidad for a month and he only had 2 weeks left.
This is the genealogist,
yeah,
is it?
Mm. So then he said, can I fly out immediately to try and be there with the genealogist to try and meet with my birth father. So I did. And booked a flight and flew out. And
it's a lot to take in. You know, get on a plane now, basically,
yeah,
and come and meet your biological father.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And even on sitting on the plane, I was looking around and everyone on the plane was from Trinidad. And I just had a realization at the moment that I've never actually met anyone from Trinidad. And it was a big part of, you know, who I am. So it was kind of lots of extra added factors. To be in Trinidad was a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to meet him was obviously the biggest. And
so what happened when you got there then? Did you meet him straight away?
Met the genealogist at the airport. He made a plan with me for the following day. And we were to go back to he owns a little bar in a very small one horse town. So we were to go there and he had arranged, well, he hadn't got confirmation. So while I was with the genealogist, the phone rang and it was my birth father to confirm 1 o'clock the next day. So that really made everything feel real.
So let's think about what's going through his head. He has a son he never knew he had.
And he doesn't know anything.
Doesn't know anything. No. And you're flying in to meet him.
Mm. Yeah, all he knows is that he's meeting a genealogist who's gone away and done a bit of research on his family tree and family name. And he's going to meet that person the next day. So then the next day I'm with this genealogist. And
oh, so at that point he didn't know he had a son?
Correct, yeah.
And you just turned up then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did he react to that, your birth father?
Oh, like he was in shock. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah, he wasn't able to speak. Yeah, we basically walked into his bar and the genealogist said hello and we sat down and he showed him a few documents that he had found about when his family... So his family is from India and they arrived in the early 1900s. So he was showing them these immigration certs of when his father arrived. And then within a minute or two, he passed them over to me to say I would be someone that he would be interested in talking to as well. So yeah, then it was me. I was up and I just kind of said hello and I said, I'm from Ireland and what I'm about to tell you might shock you. that I was born in 1984. I was adopted at birth, and I recently found my birth mother. I told him her name, and I said, she told me your name, and she also told me that you were from Trinidad, and through Sham here, I found you. And that's why I flew to Ireland, was to tell you that I'm your son and how they exist.
And once he got over the initial shock, how did he react?
He didn't really get over the initial shock. That lasted for the entire meeting. I was there for about 2 hours. And it was more, I talked to him and he listened, and there was long moments of silence, and, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, nothing said. And there was no chit-chat. It was all, if I thought of something I wanted to tell him, I'd say that. And I asked him at one point, did he believe everything I was saying? And he said he did. And another point, a girl walks into his bar and talks to him and leaves, and the genealogist, Sham, asked, is that your daughter? And he said it was. So then I saw my half-sister. And I had a few moments on my own where I was able to, you know, just tell him, I suppose, he would have been someone on my mind growing up, and I always wanted to meet him, and I was very happy to have met him. And, you know, he just listened. He was just really
shocked.
Really shocked, yeah.
Did you get an opportunity to speak to him again once he'd had time to absorb it?
So I left a letter and my details were in it, and I was there for a week. So I was hoping that he might get in touch, and I told him I have a car, I can meet again. So I went away with my family then, because we all went out together, and there was a few ups and downs where we didn't think they were going to kind of contact us. We were in a place that was not receiving phone signal that we didn't realise. And anyway, in the end, on the last night, there was a phone call from the genealogist to say that they've been trying to contact, they couldn't get through. So we arranged to meet at the airport the next day on our way home. I didn't know, like, whether that was going to be a meeting of let's take this another step further and keep in touch or goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually the first one where, you know, they greeted us with a warm hug.
And when you say they, who was there?
Oh, sorry, yeah, his wife was with him.
Yeah.
She was there too, and it was lovely to meet her. And you know, he had 3 daughters. Yeah, news like this might not really sit well, and I don't think it would have sat well with his family, and she alluded to that. But she was very, it was very big of her, I suppose. She didn't want to get in any way between me and him, and she said that. And she said he had 3 daughters, he always wanted a son, and she said that now he does. And he bought me a beer, and we drank a beer together, and it was just a lovely experience to have. And, you know, they're interacting with my wife and my kids and having fun. And the last thing they said was when we left was, don't forget to call. So it was...
And have you?
I've been texting. But yeah, it's kind of... I don't think they're big phone people, so it's a bit slow. But I just, from the sense of being around them when we were there for that hour and a half, like, I think it'll be easier maybe to either FaceTime or to go back and visit again, which mm-hmm. I think I will.
Did he look like you?
Yeah, there was a resemblance. He has a 40-year-old daughter who my wife said is basically me in a dress.
Right.
So, yeah.
And what did he think about your career in music and athletics? Did you get to tell him about
did,
all of
yeah.
that?
In the first encounter, I just kind of started talking about myself, which was quite unusual. But I just told him everything about myself, and... he wasn't able to speak, but it was the genealogist was there, and he was like, wow, this is amazing, isn't it? Trying to like coax it out of him. But I kind of got a sense that he, like, anytime I spoke, he looked at me intently and listened intently. And I suppose for him, he was just realizing he had a son for the first time. He wasn't really able to process anything else other than that.
And are you glad now that you embarked on the whole thing in 2019? You are?
Oh God, jeez, yeah. Like, it's like that week in Trinidad was probably one of the best weeks of my life. It was an incredible journey. It's never, like, I'm giving the the bullet points here, but like there has been ups and downs and roadblocks and so on. But overall, the way it has worked out for me personally, it's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the case for everyone, but yeah, my story is pretty positive. Yeah.
You're glad you did it. Listen, the song then, the new single from Hermitage Green is Flutes, and it fits very well with this story in that the starting point comes before or during this journey, right? Maybe explain where it came from.
Yeah, so I suppose a year and a half ago it was written, and I would have started the writing and the creative side of this track. It kind of features a didgeridoo, which I play, and then it was opened up. A few lyrics were written down and a few kind of beginnings were made, and then it was given out to the rest of the band, and everybody added little parts and lyrics and lines, and the end result is basically a song that encapsulates something that happens to you when you're young, and whatever that is. The general version is that it, whatever happens to you when you're young, how that affects you as you grow up. And for me, it was my adoption. And I think everyone agrees in the song that it is a song written about my journey, even though we never had a formal discussion about it. So there's certain lines in the song like that. Say, for example, while you wait and wonder if they'll call your number, is this story ending or are you stuck pretending? And for me, like, being out there wondering if they're going to call when we had no phone coverage, all these like things that happened, even though the song was written before those things happened, but the sentiment of the song was always about my story.
Mm-hmm. But now it couldn't be more apt because of what happened in between the song being written and where we are now.
And it was scheduled to be released 6 months ago for a week. That was the week after I got back from Trinidad, as it transpired. So, yeah. It's a bit uncanny.
Listen, it's a fascinating story, Darren. Thanks. You so much for telling us. That's the new song from Hermitage Green, which we're going to hear now. But Dara Graham, thank you very much for coming in and telling us about that. Here is Flutes.
Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.